Yo, what up, what up? I am the big homie.
This is Jamal.
And this is E.
And we are the Free Meals Club, coming to you fresh, never frozen, serving that raw. This is our end of the year review, where we're going to be going over our top five shows, movies, and artists, also giving a rookie of the year and an MVP for the year. We'll start off with our top five shows of 2016, and I kick it off. My number five show, I'm going to go with The Flash. Number four, for me, I'm going to go with Stranger Things. Number three, Walking Dead. Number two, this is tough, because I don't know if I really want to consider this a show or a miniseries, but for the sake of argument, I'm going to go with show, and I'll say The Get Down on Netflix, and number one, Game of Thrones.
All right. This was hard for me, too. I'm going to have some honorable mentions when we talk about our shows, but as far as my list, number five, I got season three of BoJack Horseman. Number four, I got season two of Daredevil. Three, I got Silicon Valley, season three. Number two, Game of Thrones, season six, Battle of the Bastards, best episode of television TV ever. And number one, Geared to Atlanta.
All right. It's kind of tough for me. I had a bunch that I couldn't really figure out. But number five, I'm going to Get Down. Number four, I'm going to go with Luke Cage. Number three, I'm going to go ahead and go with Black Mirror, the season three. Number two, go to Walking Dead. Number one, I'm going to go Atlanta.
Yeah. I can't believe I forgot Atlanta, but it was like television was so good this year.
It was
your streaming services and Netflix doing that hoodoo that they do. It was a lot. So narrowing down to five was tough because, like I said, honorable mention for me, definitely go to Atlanta and Insecure on HBO. But like I said, I forgot to mention them, but I don't take anything away from my list.
Yeah, I know I'm definitely going Insecure, and there is an honorable mention. And then I kind of hate that I left The Get Down off, but if I'm looking back on my list, I probably wouldn't have took nothing down. Narcos was make it was close to getting put on there too, but it didn't make it. But it's definitely getting an honorable mention.
Well, I mean, I can't believe neither one of y'all mentioned Stranger Things.
I had Stranger Things on my list, but actually, I just really changed it up at that moment because I heard Jamal say Atlanta, and I was like, ah, damn, I have to get Atlanta. But I had Stranger Things right there, so I was like, damn, I got to knock something out.
So I wasn't the only one who got Atlanta.
The only reason Stranger Things to make mine is because I didn't realize that Daredevil season two came out this year. Like, I thought it was last year, and I had Stranger Things on there, but when I realized it was this year, I had to bump it out.
Yeah, I mean, although I did love Daredevil season two, and even more so love Luke Cage, I can't take away like how good The Get Down was with all the elements. So it's like, I knew that definitely had to be in there for me.
Yeah, to me, I kind of feel like it didn't get enough shine. Like, I feel like Stranger Things, like, kind of overshadowed it because it had that whole, I guess, that 80s kind of retro vibe for it, and everybody was just crazy about that. But to me, The Get Down was just as good, maybe even better, you know, depending on how you want to look at it. It just didn't get that shine.
Right. Like I said, TV as a whole has changed, and, like, you really can get movie quality shows off of television. I mean, and that's not even sitcoms, which there aren't really sitcoms anymore, just comedy shows such as Atlanta.
How y'all feel about Black Mirror? I know I just got on it probably like 2 weeks ago, and I already got it in my top five.
Oh yeah, I knew about it. I feel like from the first season, and like I thought it was pretty tight, but it's almost like each episode is a movie, so it was kind of like it wasn't an easy binge for me. Like I hadn't finished the third season. That's probably the only reason it didn't make my list. But it's like, you know, like I said, it ain't like, you know, you sit down and binge it like you watching a whole show. It's like you putting on a movie every time you put it on. So, but it's definitely like up there with, you know, like Netflix originals, they putting like a lot of regular TV channels to shame. Like I watched a show. It's not as good as, you know, to make my list number. I know I watched one of their new shows called Crazy Head, and it was just like a regular, you know, it's like demon possession or something. But it was just like something that would probably be on the CW or whatever. And Netflix gave it a quick little six episodes, and it's like they got so much shit on there. Like you legit got to browse through their originals.
Yeah, they have a plethora of them. And like even some of the originals that aren't originals that they just kind of took from, like UK or whatever, like such as Black Mirror. It's like most of it is, they're not giving me anything that's not quality, because if it shows up on my Netflix thing and it has a little logo by it, I know I can't go wrong with it. They have a new show, I want to say it's like Arc or something like that, that I haven't gotten around to, but I know I'm going to check it out.
And then as far as your comment is like TV shows being on the level of movies, like, little bro, whenever you do decide to get the Game of Thrones, to be honest, like, you gonna watch every season, but you can legit just watch that Battle of the Bastards episode. Like, that was a movie. Like, I've watched all the Lord of the Rings, all the Hobbits, and those, none of them compared to that one episode. Like, I ain't never seen no shit like that, and it was on TV. So.
And it's like seven seasons of Game of Thrones, something like that.
Yes, it's six, but. And it's a lot. Like it's a long hour in each episode, but this shit is so worth it. It's so worth it.
Yeah, I'm about to get on that HBO Go phone.
Yeah. All right. Top five movies was kind of tough because it was a lot of disappointments this year, and I'm gonna go with my number one disappointment, which is Batman Superman. But five, I'm going to go with Suicide Squad. Four, I want to go with Hateful Eight, but I want to say it came out at the end of 2015. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I think it was
I'm gonna go.
Christmas. But you can put it in there.
It was. And it got delayed or something.
You know what? You're right. You're right. It did get delayed. You're right. It was this year.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Hateful Eight with four. Number three. Man. I'll go with number one, which was Civil War. For me, number three, that's still tough. I get Deadpool number two, and then I'm trying not to leave it all comic booky for my top five, but I know I saw something that was good, but Doctor Strange is number three.
Okay. Let me see. My list is very reflective of not seeing a lot and having poor kids, so let me preface with that. Number five is I'm going to give it to Keanu because I thought it was going to be shit and it was actually pretty funny. So I give number five to Keanu. Number four, I'm going to go with Zootopia. Number three, yeah.
Hey, that's on my list too. I'm not going to lie. I can't lie to you.
it was Friday.
Yeah.
Number three is The Jungle Book. And then number two is Deadpool. And then number one, of course, is the greatest comic book movie of all time, Captain America Civil War. All
right. Number five, I had 10 Cloverfield Lane, but I had to bump that out because I saw Zootopia a couple weeks ago. I was like, damn, that was a really good movie. Four, I'm going to go with Deadpool. Three, Batman, Superman 2. I'll go with Star Wars Rogue One. And one, of course, Captain America Civil War. And I don't know about y'all, but I feel like this was a real slow year for movies. Either that or I just didn't see a bunch of them.
Nah, it was a slow year. It was a slow year and a lot of disappointments.
Yeah, it was a slow year, especially considering how big next year is already lining up to be. Hell, and, you know, mentioning Zootopia, Secret Life of Pets was like a sneak hit, you know.
Yeah, I know the family went to go see it. I didn't see it, but they said it was really funny.
Yeah, and I can't support you putting Batman and Superman in there. It was such a disappointment. You had to see the uncut 3.5-hour version. It sort of just seemed like it made sense.
But didn't you didn't see that in theaters though, did you, little bro? Didn't you see that later on when after it came on DVD?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't see it in theaters.
Okay, yeah, that's why you
think
you
can make it. Yeah, he wasn't like us sitting in the seats Friday night so excited to finally see it on screen and 3 hours later ready to smack somebody's grandma. He wasn't like that. He had
a superhero movie out here I was disappointed by was Suicide Squad. I thought it was going to be so good. If we can go back to the last couple of podcasts, what we talking about, what we anticipating for this year.
We just knew
that Suicide Squad was up there. But, man, it was not that good.
Suicide Squad wasn't what I thought. However, I thought it was pretty good considering DC doesn't normally give, you know, quote-unquote popcorn movies that you can actually enjoy and have some laughs and see some action. So, and then the fact that they gave me characters that I don't normally see. I love their interpretation of the Joker, although I didn't get a lot of them. And Harley Quinn was good, but it was there were some holes. But overall, I thought it was pretty good.
Interesting
to watch and visually pleasing.
And that's what I 100% agree on as far as the popcorn movie thing. And I think that's why a lot of people were mad. When people was just saying it was trash and stuff, I was nah. It's if it come on FX or something, and you sitting down, you gonna sit down and watch it because you said it's a popcorn movie. All the problem is people automatically do the whole DC Marvel thing, and folks bruh, they putting Spider Man taking Captain America shield. Throwing it we need something. We don't need no popcorn movie. We need y'all to get with the shit, and that Suicide Squad didn't do this. So I think it wasn't that it was bad. People were just disappointed. They ready for DC to shine, and they just. I feel at this point they not they making money. They don't really care what people say. They gonna keep putting out the same subpar shit they've been putting out. But I'm with you. If you look back, we just knew DC was gonna kill it this year. Last year, you couldn't tell us nothing, and here we are at the end of 2016, what the fuck happened?
Well, yeah, I give y'all that. I want to say, I probably over-exaggerating. It wasn't that bad, but I just know I was anticipating a lot more, because it just seemed such a good ass, from the previews we got, I was damn, this is probably going to be one of the best superhero movies that we get. And it's going to go into debt, the other DC movies, more the Batman series. I was damn, it's going to be nice how they're going to play this out. So I was more anticipating that than, looking for a popcorn movie. I want to be more serious and dark, Dark Knight Rises or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, the trailer definitely.
And another honorable that I just saw, another honorable mention I just saw a couple days ago, Don't Breathe was actually, like, a lot better than I thought. Like, it had me on the edge of my seat, and I pretty much delivered for your typical suspenseful movie. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I heard like, you know, a lot of people were raving about that movie. The only thing that kind of threw me off was, like, I know a lot of the people were saying that it was one of the best horror films in a while, but whenever I talked to somebody that saw it, they was just like, it was a thriller. Like, it really wasn't horror. It was just a suspense movie. I've been trying to get it out the red box, but niggas out here don't want me to see it, I guess.
Hey. Yeah, any other ones we missed?
Since we talked about Zootopia and little kid movies like that, I saw Sing the other day.
Yeah, good movie.
I
plan on seeing it. I haven't seen it yet, though. It looks like it'll be pretty decent.
Same here. They've been asking to see that one. I know, I feel like Rogue One would have made my list. I hadn't had a chance to see it yet.
It was pretty good. I just felt like, I don't know, it was just really hard for me to include anything that has only been out for a few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, because it's competing with so much more that had a chance to really sit with me through the year. So, I'm a little biased. It was
I thought Rogue One was nice. I might be overhyping a little bit because I just became a Star Wars fan from The Force Awakens, but
then,
I don't know. I thought it was real good, though.
You know, that brings up a very interesting conversation. I don't think there's a such thing as just becoming a Star Wars fan because, in all honesty, I really loved that last one. But I'm not necessarily on board and ready to go watch all them old fuckers. Kind of like how we talked about in text. I want to because I feel like I'm missing something. But, you know, you keep watching them and you can see the wires and all that fake shit. And you're like, just tell me about this shit, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to read the summary or something, man. I'm not about to watch the old one.
Yeah, I was going to say, somebody that's watching, I could see somebody grew up with it feeling like, no, this is this thing I love. You got to see it. You're not about, like, nah, but you can. To be honest, watching the Family Guy spoof of it, I kind of got the gist of the movie. I really didn't have to see it. I just did it just because. And, like, it was cool to, like, you know, have sometimes some older 80s movies. It's cool to kind of feel that 80s vibe. But as far as, like, oh, you need to watch these to be a real fan, I don't agree with this. Because when you think about it, we know all the characters. Y'all know all the characters and ain't seen the movie. Like, I'm pretty sure there's no character they could name from those Star Wars that y'all wouldn't know. And it's like, if I know all this and I know the story, what's the point of watching the movie?
Yeah. True.
So, yeah, I feel like our big bro said, I don't think loving Star Wars 7 necessarily makes you a new fan. It just kind of solidified what you already know. Now, it was more so like I knew all this knowledge. Now I got something of my own to carry me through. And we got Childish Gambino as Lando Calrissian. So,
what? So that's, you know, we'll use that Childish Gambino as a segue into top five albums.
Yeah, I was throwing you that, Allie.
Yeah, Allie, you. LeBron, that bitch. Okay. So, number five. Now, this was kind of tough because this is not necessarily hip-hop per se, but it's all on how you take it. But, you know, it's my top five albums of the year. At number five, I had to sit with it a second. But it's definitely Childish Gambino, Awaken My Love. It's just so sonically pleasing that I can't leave it out, but it's not the bars that I had been waiting on. So you know, it was tough. So he gets number five. Number four is Blind by Frank Ocean. Number three is kind of slept on, but it's Mac Miller. A lot of people kind of missed out on that project, but it was very, very solid. Number two for me is Isaiah Rashad. And number one, I'm going to have to go with Solange. Seat at the table.
Okay. Well, I'm right there. And I'm glad to hear you, because I actually feel bad about mine. Because I was in the same boat where it's like, it's not a lot of hip-hop on here. But if we, like I said, if we doing Fade 5, I solely based it off of, like, replay ability. Like, what was I just, no matter when it came out, what am I constantly playing? And I texted y'all earlier, I just changed my number five today, and I feel like I really would have got shitted on what my number five was at first. I'm going to make it an honorable mention. But as of now, my number five is Childish Gambino, Awaken My Love, you know, pretty much like Big Bro said. It was one of those projects that's got to grow on you, but I feel like that was the definition of, like, letting the album grow on you, because that's what I hear everybody say. They'd be like, once it grew on me, it just stuck. And I feel like that's all I ever hear people say. Number four is Savage Mode with 21 Savage and Metro Boomin. It's the only full project I've heard from 21, but it's small. Metro made the perfect beat for him, and it's just, I can always put that on. Like, it never not gets old. So that's going to be my number four. Number three is going to be Buried in the Trap Scene, Nick Knight. It's Travis. He never disappoints. Number two is going to be Starboy. And number one, according to my iTunes, is going to be Frank Ocean Blonde. Like, I literally play that album at least two or three times a week. Like, I'm constantly listening to it, so that's my number one.
All right. So, first off, I got to just, because I left these off, because I'm like, you know, I did them off pretty much replay value, pretty much just what I probably play the most. But I got an honorable mention, Birds in the Trap, Awaken My Love, and For Your Eyes Only, J. Cole. That probably would have been my top five if it didn't just come out. Like, it's still sitting with me, but it definitely would have been in. But number five, 99.9% by Kay Trinata. Number four, The Son, Tyree, Isaiah Rashad. Number three, Blank Face, Schoolboy Q. Number two, Blind, Frank Ocean. And one, I had to go with The Weeknd, Starboarding.
Yeah, there were definitely some ones I missed in there. I can't believe I forgot Blank Face.
Oh, you can go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, if we just talking purely rap, just straight hip-hop, I kind of feel like that was the hip-hop rap album of the year. Like, you know, I know people run the Kanye West, Chance, and Drake, but all those had, like, a lot of different elements that wasn't rap and hip-hop, and we just solely talking strictly just rap. I feel like Schoolboy had the rap album of the year.
Yeah, he definitely did. A lot of the podcasts I listened to and different debates I watched, he was in everyone's top three. He definitely put a solid project together.
So we pretty much named everybody except Drake and Kanye. So why y'all ain't put them up there? What did I miss? It? Did y'all say it? Not missing? I don't know.
I actually wanted to put Drake in there, but it was like I was just looking at like full bodies of work and like who really just put something out there. I mean, I want to give him honorable mention, but he's just like a fucking mosquito or a fly. He's just always around. He's not to where he's annoying yet, because, I mean, when he drops something, he drops a verse or whatever, you want to hear it. You know, he has the Midas touch. But I just couldn't put him up there. And then Kanye, he's fucking lost it. The Life of Pablo was so hyped. And he's slowly been losing it since Yeezus. Although Yeezus was good, but it's like you're drifting further and further from the Kanye that I knew. And I know that you can't be the same, but it doesn't resonate the same with me anymore, especially when I see your antics out in public. So I can't really give you any kind of credit.
Yeah, I know for me, with the Kanye, like I said, since it was just, you know, my personal fave, like, if we was doing a top five, I'm sure it would have been in there, but since it was my personal fave, like, I just haven't gone back to that album. Like, it wasn't that it was a bad album, it just comes to, you know what I'm saying, when I want to listen to something that I just never really go to it. And then the Drake, all I think, like Big Bro said, you hear him so much, like, radio, videos, memes, you just hear him so much, you don't be quick to go to him. So that was like, they just kind of pushed him out of my own personal phase five or whatever. But again, if we're talking top, he definitely would have been in there. But as far as honorable mentions, everybody in OVO put out a solid project this year, especially Lorde Woods and Division. Like, so I guess they do that as a marketing thing, not make them seem so much under Drake, but I don't know why he don't brag about that more often. Like, bro, damn near got like an R&B Rockefeller. Like, everybody up under him got like a legit R&B album, which goes to my other honorable mention, which I know everybody hated, but I actually really like P&D Peeper. Like, I liked it a lot. It was about to be my number five. But I know everybody hates that. He even hated the damn album. So I get everybody's complaints.
I heard that Partners Go once. I still ain't been able to get around back to it. But with Drake, I got a friend who, like, he a ride or die Drake fan, and he vouched for Views All Day and House, the best album. But I only played it, honestly, like the first week. And even when I go back to it, I only play What's the Wrong Flow and maybe like two more songs. Is it, I don't know, it's good. Like, when you first call it, damn, this album real good. But as time went on, I was like, eh. It's
Drake.
Title
of the storm.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know what? Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, as far as, like, putting it on, like, for one, in my opinion, that was, like, it's a good song, but to prepare the album, that was, like, the worst intro I ever fucking heard in my life. Like, that don't make no sense for the album. Like, it just don't. It's a cool song. It just don't fit with the rest of the album. It's like, it's just the opera. Like, what the fuck is this? And it don't set you up for the album. So that'll be like the first thing as far as putting it on. And then going through the album be cool, but the second you get to a hit, you just want to throw your phone because you probably heard it like 1,000 times. That's why it's so hard to, like, you can't really sit through this shit because you probably didn't heard it already. Like, I'm trying my best to stay the fuck away from Fake Love because I know once More Life, whenever it come out, I'm not going to want to hear that shit. So as soon as I hear it on the radio, I immediately change it. And it's like, I feel like for the average fan, that don't bother, you know, the average music listener, that don't affect Drake. But for, like, you know, music listeners that like to sit down and play a whole album, they kind of fuck it up for him because don't nobody want to hear nothing they didn't already heard all fucking day.
Now, I'll say this. With this album, it was a little bit different for me. That's usually the case for me, like, where I'm just like, damn, this got plenty of radio play. I keep hearing it over and over and over. I'm not trying to, like, when we get to the album, I'll just skip it. But on Views, I'll listen to Hotline Bling. I'll listen to Controlling One Dance. Like, I don't have to skip to those. I actually really, those are my favorite songs on the album. But I don't know. I guess it's because it's that Caribbean feel, and it's a little bit, like, different type of Drake that makes those songs pretty good to me. But they haven't really annoyed me as much. Cause I know Hotline Bling and One Dance is everywhere.
Yeah, they do still.
Right. It wasn't such as those songs on this album that annoyed you or that you got rid of. It was just the other songs that, because that project, and like he said in an interview, he's like, he didn't want anybody to like it the first time they listened to it. And the first time I listened to it, I didn't really care for it that much. But after I listened to it a couple of times, I kind of saw what he was doing with using the different elements. And like I said, those songs do have a Caribbean feel, and you like those off the top, but you were trying to figure out where these other songs fit in. I mean, because he does have some other songs on there, but it's like, it's hard to really just pick them out as to which ones, other than the ones that ended up being singles or whatever.
Yeah, and then it's like, in which I feel like he did that on purpose by making it so long. But if he would have made it shorter, like some of them standout songs, put in a shorter album, it would have been a whole, like, you know, stuff like the Pimp C song, the Western Road Flows, the Fire and Desire, shit like that. If he would have had that in a smaller album, it would have been a different story. But I feel like the album being so long kind of affected it a lot, too. Because, you know what I'm saying, people listen to don't really listen to albums as is, and you come out with a 20-song album, like, you're not helping the cause.
Right. I mean, I absolutely love Child's Play, and Pop Style was good, but it's like, you know, it was a lot to digest.
Yeah, I know, in which I'm surprised I didn't even make an honorable mention. I know James Blake's album was one of my favorite albums this year, but I rarely listen to it because it's like an hour and a half. I rarely got the time to sit down and listen to one album for an hour and a half, so you can really like something, but the length can really affect it. That's why, you know, shit like Awaken My Love, and I feel like I'm with Lil Bro too. The J. Cole definitely would have been on my list. It's just the fact that it just came out, so it didn't really get enough replay to make it. But, you know, short stuff like that it's just easy to digest and make it easy to replay real quick.
Yeah, but that Weekend was what is it, 18 songs? I mean, it was kind of short, though. It was about a little bit over an hour. But still, 18 songs, and I could play that album top to bottom. And that's one of the few that's, like, that long or has that many tracks. I'm like, damn, I'm going to sit with this. Other times, I'm just skipping around.
Yeah, that's true. I can play the Frank kind of long, too. I know a lot of it is short, but it's a decent amount of songs on there, too, so... I mean, that can speak to, you know, you just got a banging-ass album. It don't really matter how long it is. But I feel like, even though the Weeknd album, it don't feel long. Drake shit feel long.
Yeah, it does. It does. And, like, I mean, because Birds in the Trap was, you know, kind of lengthy. I mean, it was 14 songs, but they were 14 full songs. You didn't have, like, skits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get tired of it. And, I mean... He didn't make my five, but he's definitely somebody I go back and listen to because, like I said, this is tying into the J. Cole, but there's certain people that I can listen to when they first come out, but if it's really, like, awesome, listen to all the time, listen on the go, I can't really listen to the J. Cole like that because you really have to, like I said, digest it. I want to put it in the car and let it knock. And some of the other stuff is able to do that. Like, I was able to do that with the Isaiah Rashad. It had, you know, knockability. Whereas J. Cole, it was kind of disappointing that two of the best songs that I thought I was getting from that project weren't even on that project. So that was a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, he definitely hit us with he... People, I know a lot of people kind of clowning the game for, like, promoting his last album off of a beef, but J. Cole kind of hoodwinked us. Like, for one, not only did he, like, promote, like, he was just going to come after all these rappers, but two, the album had absolutely nothing to do with those two songs. Like, it had shit to do with those two songs. Even though I like it, it was just like, so wait, you legit just put that out so we can get excited? Like that's the only reason you put that out. But at the time, I mean, I guess I didn't know. Like, I could give him the benefit of the doubt and just say maybe he felt like this is something I want to say, but it don't fit in my album. But even still, like, bro, he could have made a bonus track or something.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I really like the J. Cole album because J. Cole is like, this was him, like, prime storytelling mode, because that's what I feel like he's excellent at, is just pretty much telling the story. And the whole album was conceptual. It was a story from first song to the, I think it was like 10 tracks to like number 10. Like the whole thing was one big story. That's what made it more appealing to me. Because, I mean, it reminded me of tracks like some of his old tracks, Cousins, Killers, where he just like telling a real life story. So, yeah, I mean, he didn't really have anything that was like that was knocking or stuff like that. But that's one of the few albums that I could just sit down and listen to the lyrics, because I don't just really listen to people talk when they rap and shit. I just mostly listen to it for the overall music. But I can just listen to J. Cole's lyrics and be like, damn, that was nice.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is a talent he has, but like I said, with this project, I wasn't that much more impressed than I was with 2014. This kind of just felt, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on how y'all feel, but this felt more like a mixtape than an album. I don't know if it was because it was 10 songs or what, but 2014 just felt so complete. He told his stories. He did them with, you know, genius bars. But this, the bars were there, the stories were there, but overall, it really just felt like a mixtape.
Yeah, I agree with both of y'all. Like Lil Bro said, it felt like, to me, other than his, I mean, mainly his core fan base is what got him in there, like, top three rappers right now, him, Drake, and Kendrick. But on top of that, I think he, like, when it comes to, like, telling stories is amazing. But like Lil Bro said, he, like, extremely easy to understand. As much as we love Kendrick and we feel like he's the number one rapper, niggas ain't finna sit here and tell me they can rap every single one of Kendrick's songs. Sometimes you just listening to that nigga go fast. Like, you don't always understand what Kendrick's saying. But Cole legit, Drake do it good, too, but Cole legit, like, just be having conversations and be rhyming. And, like, you know, like Lil Bro said, this album sounds a lot like some of his old stuff. It reminded me a lot of them Sincerely, I think they were called Sincerely Yours, the jumps he put out before Born Center. Like, he had a lot of stories he was telling on there. But at the same time, I'm with you too, big bro. Like, it didn't really feel like an album. It felt more like this something that I'm doing real quick. And I think that's where a lot of the disappointment came from. Like, other people, like, it's easy to say that 2014 was his best album. So you would think, oh, he's going to, like, this would put him on the top, so he's going to come back with some heat. And he didn't, but I don't really knock him for it. I think he just, to me, it was kind of like his, I would say it was like his concept album, but it was still hip-hop, kind of like maybe his Yeezus or maybe his 808s, even though it ain't a different genre. It was still like I don't think this was even though technically it's the follow-up to 2014, I don't consider it the follow-up. I feel like his next album is going to be like this is my follow-up to that best album. This was just something I was putting out real light. So that's why I kind of feel like
This was more like a passion project.
So, like I said,
good points all the way around. Yeah. But I guess we can go with MVP, and we just talked about the light-skinned Savage. And although he didn't make my top five, I can't deny that he was the MVP of this year, because the guy was everywhere, you know. And like I said, everything he touched, every song he played in the background while he's, you know, taking a selfie was a hit, you know. So I definitely got to give him my MVP for the year 2016. And for Rookie of the Year, I really did toss and turn with this one, because they both had their halves. And in the first half, it would have been Lil Uzi Vert. Second half was hands down 21 Savage. But if I'm going to go overall, because one of the hottest songs right now is Bad and Bougie, I got to give it to Lil Uzi Vert.
Okay. The MVP, it was tough, because I was going to put him in Rookie of the Year, because to me, this was the year that he legit became, like, even though a lot of people already knew about him, I feel like this was the year that, like, okay, now he's, like, that guy. But I guess I got to throw him an MVP, not technically a rookie, but I give it the chance. Even though, like, I mean, it's Drake. It's clearly Drake, but I really want to throw Chance in there. Like, I feel like he opened up Kanye's album, had one of the best verses of the year. He's been killing all of his festivals. Like, he did a lot of, like, I feel like he, you know, kind of one of the ones that made that whole rappers on late night television kind of popular this year. Like, he was one of the people that you were looking to see on there. You know what I'm saying? He had one of the best albums of the year. And with his album, I feel like he, like, kind of matured and turned into the artist that he's going to continue to be. So I'm gonna go ahead and give him MVP. And as far as rookie, it's kind of cheating, but I'm gonna do it anyways. I'm gonna say Quavo. Like, I feel like this was the year that he legit. Even though we've been saying he was the Beyonce of the Migos, I feel like this is the year everybody else realized he is the Beyonce of the Migos. Like, I feel like 2017.
That hasn't been cheating since he hasn't necessarily broke away from Destiny's Child, you know.
Yes,
that's why I really didn't want to give it to him, but he was everywhere. Sorry, I can't support your argument, but I couldn't just give it to him. Because, like, yeah. A, he's not a rookie because he hasn't broken away yet. And then, of course, it's like it's hard. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and then I think I'm also going to go with that is because I definitely feel like 2017, he's going to, you know, that's going to be his year. That he gonna, you know, kind of come out a little bit more and shine with Uzi Vert and 21 Savage. I know they're not going nowhere, but I can't see 2017. Like, I just don't know what it's gonna be. I know it ain't gonna be like they not gonna be like, you know, Rich Homie Quan and K Camp and all them. Like, they definitely gonna be here, but I can't see it, so I can't really, you know what I'm saying. I can see Quavo. I know it's gonna be something in next year, so that's why I'm gonna kind of go with that that little cheat and put him in there as my rookie of the year.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, you made some good points about Chance. I wasn't really thinking about that, but he definitely does have MVP status because, you know, he has the whole getting nominated for a Grammy without, you know, having
that,
an album.
Yeah.
Like, made history with that. But I'm going to go with Drake because, you know, his winning streak is crazy. Like, he on a roll and been on a roll for some years. And I don't see that really lighting up. And this year, he, you know, like, prime Drake. But we're going with the rookie of the year. I'm going to have to go 21 Savage because I look at how everybody's paying him for verses. Like, damn, I got to get 21 on mine. I got to get 21 on this. I got to get 21 on that. Leak went and got him. Drake went and got him. He had, like, a little tug of war over him and shit. And then, now what else was he on recently? He was on YG's project. Do you never think that 21 is going to be on YG's, like, project? Like, he had a little, I don't know if y'all heard it, but YG's, he had a little, I guess, mixtape.
Red mixtape, Red Friday? Yeah, Red Friday.
But, no, people paying him got big money for, features. And if it wasn't going to be 21, I probably would have went with, you know, even Lil Yachty or Uzi, but more so Lil Yachty because he was pretty much nobody back in 2015. Like, he really blew up this year. He went from nothing to something in, like, what, a couple months. And that's crazy to me.
Yeah, I kind of want to give Yachty a little nod because he's so in the news, you know, for taking all kinds of flack for some of the stuff he's saying is basically being a young nigga. But he's kind of backing it up, too, because he's had some pretty big hits.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say as far as, like, if you compare him to Uzi, I feel like one got the other – and they might bring in the 2017. Like, I feel like Lil Yachty more so got the media exposure, but you don't hear him too much on the radio. I know the Broccoli thing, you know, the Broccoli hit or whatever, but that's Drams. But other than that, you don't too much hear him on the radio, whereas Uzi Vert, you don't too much see him in the media, but he got a couple of, you know, songs on the radio. So I kind of feel like if they take from what the other person is doing in 2017, that'll boost their career. And even though I'm sticking with Chance, as far as MVP, I legit feel like in 10, 20 years, like, even though a lot of people say Beyonce, I feel like Drake's going to be, like, the Michael Jackson. Like, that nigga's going to be the person that, like, never goes anywhere. I mean, of course, Beyonce ain't going nowhere, but when it comes to, like, how, like, if we talking music and it's, like, if you ask somebody who, like, the biggest music artist of all time, they used to go to Michael Jackson, but it's, like, a generational thing. I feel like on down the line, as we get old, I think that's going to be Drake. Like, I don't think he ever went anywhere.
Drake is definitely the, like, he, I feel like, just my opinion, but I feel like he pretty much made rap mainstream. Like, rap is probably, rap and hip-hop probably, like, it's up there as one of the top, you know, genres. If not the top genre, it's up there with pop and all that. And I think that's because of Drake. Like, he's made it pop to where everybody want to, you know, have something to do with rap. But I feel like he just transcended the whole genre. He did it pretty much by himself. So, I mean, there's no question that he's the greatest artist in, like, to ever rap. Like, there's no question because, you know, you just look at the numbers.
Right. But, it's like, yeah, he's transcending. I mean, even from his style to where you get a lot more people who try and use a little bit more melody. Not to say that he was the first, because if you look at, like, Bone Thugs and Harmony, they would kind of switch it with a little melody here and there. But it's just his brand of doing it. And then his run is like, I don't see it slowing down. Because like I said, he's everywhere, but you don't get tired of him. If you see a song that drops with Drake or a Drake song that drops, you're going to check it out. When More Life drops, everything stops. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to check it out, and nothing else is going to get played. So I definitely see in 5, 10 years, he's definitely going to be looked at as jumping over a white boy, basically, you know, as far as with the record sales and just all that stuff. Because, I mean, Eminem was highly revered as, you know, breaking numbers and breaking down barriers, but I definitely think Drake is going to surpass that and, you know, continue to have relevance because of just his ear and just his drive and his movement right now.
And it's funny because I remember last year, or it might have been the year before last, Ben Staples had caught out in Fleck about his comments about 90s rap, and it was like really what all he was trying to say is that rap is bigger now, because he was like, as much as we love Tupac and Biggie, they wasn't doing like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys numbers. You know what I'm saying? They weren't, you know what I'm saying? They wasn't selling the Madison Square Garden out 4 nights in a row. They wasn't doing this shit, and it's like, like you said, Big Bro, Eminem started that trend to make it more widespread, but Drake then took that and just took it to a whole nother level. Like you said, rap didn't always been popular, but it's kind of been quote unquote scary to the pop mainstream crowd. And Drake, soft, smooth ass, and made that shit as safe as possible. Everybody's just running to it now. So he, you know, like y'all said, 5, 10 years, that's gonna be the. The, you know, that's the one that we're going to be telling our kids about. They're like, no, that's the Michael Jackson that we know.
Not to mention that he put a whole city, pretty much down the country, on musically. Because before Drake, who we hear about from Toronto or Canada, I mean, we probably got a few pop singers here and there from Canada and that, but
now we're trying to hear now everybody.
Now we see All right, now we see how much Toronto has. Speaking of Toronto, they got this guy named Nav. He was on Travis Scott's album. You know, he produced and he was on featured on what's the name, Bees in the Trap. Like he's nice. He's real nice. He's from Toronto.
Yeah, I'm mad at him. He got to give me.
Isn't Belly from Toronto too?
Huh?
I believe so. And I didn't even. I was kind of. Shout out to Rap Genius. I've been using their app a lot. He helped Weekend a lot with his writing or whatever. Like, I feel like a lot of those, like, Weekend was slick rapping on Starboy a lot. And, I mean, I know he's been doing that, but some of them bars, Silence of the Lambo, like, I was like, hold up, Abel. Who told you this? But I know Billy got, like, a lot of rap writing credits on him. I can't speak too much to his music on his own, but I know as a writer, like, he pretty tight. And I think he is from Canada. And, shit, I think everybody on the OVO is from Canada, if I'm correct. I think all of them niggas from Canada.
Except McConaughey when he was on there.
R.I.P.
What Jerk didn't what Jerk say? Cut you off the team in your sleep? I know what he said. Whatever he said, he was talking about McConaughey, guess. And I got a theory on him, but I feel like the only reason that he fell off is that he was so determined to rap. Like, if he would have just kept doing Tuesday, he would be fine. I don't know who told him, like, nah, bro, you got to get them bars. they lied to him. Because that's what fucked up his career. Like, he should have just kept, not just, like, straight up went R&B, but I feel like the harmonizing is what everybody liked. He had this unique-ass voice, but for some reason, he wanted to be Oz and rap on every goddamn thing.
Well, I don't really think that's what messed him up. I think honestly what messed him up is like the gift and the curse of Drake. Because, I mean, Tuesday was just one song of many that he had, you know, in circulation. So because Drake hopped on it, it became Grammy nominated. So people looked at him for that Tuesday type of stuff. But that never really was what he was limited to. Because, I mean, he had other songs like, you know, Don't Sell Molly No More, that was doing pretty decently in the streets and whatnot. But it's like, you know, once you get that song with Drake, and like I say, it went as far as to be Grammy nominated, it kind of really put him in a box. And it's like, okay, what are you going to do next? How can you top that? And everything he was dropping, because he dropped several mixtapes or, you know, EPs or whatever you want to call them, but nothing resonated. So eventually, you know, you go through depression or whatever, you just kind of get lost in the sauce. And Drake wasn't really just holding his hand, which he doesn't hold anybody's hand, really.
No, not at all. He gives
and
you
I
that.
Think he eventually he just fell apart from it.
Yeah, that goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like, as far as everybody from OVO putting out a decent project, you wouldn't know that they was up on the OVO. Like, you know what I'm saying? The Vision was on tour with Drake. You know, my year Jordan, I feel like they still pretty known for the, you know, Going Home song on Drake's last album. But, you know, other than Party Next Door, you don't associate these folks with Drake. Roy Woods, too. Like, I mean, shit, for the longest, I thought he was just somebody that Drake played one of his songs on OVO Sound Radio or some shit. Like, I didn't know he was signed to Drake. So it took a minute before I found that out, but like I said, Drake don't really, when it comes to his artists, he don't hold their hand. Like, I'm going to give you a feature on your first project, and then you do your thing after that.
All of them still got Drake features on the first project.
Yeah. You hang out to dry. All right, I did what I can do. I get up there and beat somebody.
I'm going to go holly. I got to go got a date with J-Lo. You figure that shit out.
Yeah, how do y'all feel about that? Because my personal theory is, I think it's just all a media ploy. Because if you look at the clips from them dancing and stuff, it looks like it's on like the set
like
of a video.
Yeah,
and that just seemed like something he would do just to get people talking, so that everybody wants to see what they do. Because it just kind of came out of nowhere. I know he knocked down bitches. J-Lo, come on now.
Yeah, that was
the MVP just because of his lineup this year. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, I'll say I definitely think it's a media stump, but if we just talking his lineup, I mean, Rihanna, Serena, like,
I'm not saying I doubt it, but I'm just saying.
But no, it's
I don't believe it.
You gotta look at Drake history too, because you know everybody he had beef with, he didn't eventually turned around and have a girl.
He got
a little beef with Diddy. He might have made that move.
But that's so far removed. That's like over like 15 years since Diddy been where.
Well, according to
but it's still like
Flex. That's only
like the first.
Yeah, you're right. Chris Brown, Rihanna, Common,
Serena.
And
then what would be tripping me out about Drake, like, this is just the people we know. Like, I ain't gonna tell them who, like, we don't know. Like, that's what I always be wondering when it comes to these rappers. Who don't we know? Like, I'm pretty sure, like,
He names names. You know, he always naming people, you know, Crystal from,
I was just going to say, oh, girl, he had to quit Hooters because he's saying her name on the
app. Yeah. I mean, he always named names. But what do we think about the running gag that is Soulja Boy Tell 'Em? I know y'all have been keeping the Soulja Boy Tell 'Em.
I mean, just, I did just saw a video where somebody making fun of it. Like, I just saw a video. Like, somebody was making fun of it, like, saying they, that they went to McDonald's and they, like, did the whole subject with it. Like, that shit is lit. Like, up until that video of him explaining him shooting, it was just, like, Soulja Boy being Soulja Boy. But that video, like, that's some classic, like, meme social media shit. Like, bruh said, I said, bow, bow, and the gun was behind him. like, he didn't even realize that he was holding the gun behind him when he said, and I shot him, bow, bow.
And up when he was like, yeah, so I'm not going to go in the room, and I heard, boom, 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 and my nigga, he was like, let me get the gun. He was like, nah, nigga, you don't get shit.
I heard this story before, though. Like, honestly, like, probably a long, long time ago. I heard this
when he got robbed, he did shoot, but he never went into detail like he is now. You know, trying to make it seem like he's just a goon out here. A-Rab come back to the room, or come back to the house. Somebody had followed him there. They bust in the door when he come in. They try to steal some stuff. He gets a hold to a gun. He gets them off of him. They know not stealing nothing. But all this, blah, blah, blah. I took the mask off. I knew a nigga. So I got him again. Bow, bow.
That was so fucking messy. I took his mask off. I knew him. And I shot him again. I'm like, Soulja Boy, you've already shot him 6 times. Isn't he dead? Like, he should be dead. Like, you should be leaving the scene of your crime. Like, why are you still shooting him? Like, that shit was hilarious. And even though I hear a lot of people discredit him, shout out to DJ Vlad. Like, it's a lot of little, like, people say he, you know, call him a culture vulture or say he just be using it. You know, he get the ridiculous shit for streams. But we wouldn't have It's a Knife if it wasn't for him. And It's a Knife is just, it's social media greatness.
So,
like I said, I know a lot of people discredit him, but, you know, we didn't get a lot of crazy interviews off of him. I started to listen to an Orlando Brown interview the other day, but Orlando
he's the funniest person in 2016. That's real.
Oh, yeah, that's screw Kevin Hart. Orlando Brown is the comedian of the year. Like, that nigga is hilarious.
I can't watch the interview, though.
I was like, this is exactly what I was saying. I was like, this is funny in a 30-second clip, but 48 minutes? I'm all right. I'm good. It's taking too long to get
feeling,
funny.
You start feeling sad for the 48 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, man, why is this so funny?
Like, in the 1 minute clip, it's hilarious. In the 48 minute interview, I'm like, oh, somebody should help him. Like, somebody should, like, give him help. Like, this isn't funny. So I had to skip that, but yeah, DJ Vlad, he getting us social media goals. But since we kind of going on a tangent, I heard this the other day and I couldn't really refute it, even though it doesn't affect his music to me. I was kind of wondering y'all opinion on it. They thought negatively of it, but it don't really bother me. But this podcast is providing an argument that J. Cole has not changed at all since he came out. Like, he's legit been putting out the exact same music since he came out. And I thought about it. A lot of his songs in between, like, I feel like I could legit take a song from this album and put it on a warm-up. Or I could take a song from Born Sinner and put it on Friday Night Lights. And I was like, I don't know if, other than he kind of sings a lot more, I don't think I can really argue that. I feel like J. Cole hasn't really changed. Now, like I said, that don't bother me. Like, I like his music still, but if we talking Kendrick, Drake, like, I was listening to Drake Take Care the other day. Drake don't sound shit like Take Care anymore. The Pimple Butterfly don't sound shit like Good Kid, Mad City. You know what I'm saying? Like, all the big artists change, but J. Cole making the exact same music.
I feel like you look at that.
That's all I was going to say. Like I said, it don't bother me. Like, he can keep doing it. It works for me, But if that's something that you look for in an artist, I feel like I can't really argue that. Like, I feel like J. Cole ain't really changed. He's been making the same music for the past 7 years.
Yeah, I feel like you look at it two ways, though. Like, you can look at it as him being consistent, or you can just look at it as him not really just growing as an artist. Because, I mean, like I said, Drake grew as an artist. I mean, with J. Cole, one of the only things that kind of progressed in his music is really his beat selection and how it sounds musically. But as far as, like, his rapping, it's pretty much, it has been consistent and same, I feel. But I also don't feel like he's more about bars. He's not really an artist. You get what I'm saying? Like a Kanye or somebody who likes to experiment with certain things. He's gonna stick in his lane, which is, I guess, getting bars and telling stories.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say, you know, like you said, that it's both good and bad, you know, that because in a sense that means he has a timeless quality to his music. Like you said, you can say that it sounds exactly the same, but it doesn't mean you like it any less. However, I will say that he did kind of venture out there with Born Sinner, and it got good reviews, but it didn't really, it had mixed reviews, you know what I'm saying? It had some good reviews, but at the same time, didn't really perform as well as he had hoped. So when he went more so to himself with 2014, it was like, okay, yeah, this is what I've been missing. And now he's just kind of trying to stay in that comfort zone, which, like I said, there's nothing wrong with. I will say, you know, a lot of the times when I'm talking to having a music conversation, a lot of people don't like, you know, his samples and stuff like that because, you know, he bites. Because, I mean, I think it was False Prophets. He uses Waves from Joey Badass, and it's like he barely changes it at all.
Oh, I don't know what song it is, but one of the songs on the new album, he legit just straight up went Kendrick Lamar. I forgot what song it was, but he legit just did Kendrick Lamar flow, and I'm like, why has nobody called him out? Like, it was almost like Kendrick wrote it for him. Like, he legit took his flow, so I can definitely see that. But I didn't even think of it in that aspect, Big Bro, is the fact of, like, the fact that he hasn't changed and he's still making good music means he's making time and music. So that is a good point. It was just that, like, I know a lot of times I like to hear people, you know, talk about something that I disagree with as long as they have a point, because the podcast I was listening to, the whole, like, the first hour, they was just going at J. Cole's stand. And I feel like ain't no point of going at a stand because, like, their whole argument is built illogically. So to go against them is kind of illogic. So, but eventually they got to a point where they brought up something that I was like, I can't really debate that. J. Cole has not changed. But like I said, it don't affect his music to me. And, you know, like I said, that is kind of a testament to, you know, maybe he's just making time with music. Because as much as I feel like 4 Year Old Ass Only, like, you know, a bulk of that album, you could put it on his old stuff, but it don't mean shit to me. It, you know, it's still pretty tight to me.
Right.
But shit, I know some of the stuff is old because the Deja Vu song, when I initially heard, I was like, ah, why you do that? That just came out. But, you know, the producers kind of got into it, and they were like, they did theirs first. The other dude took it. So I was like, oh, so he just kind of sat on the song? That means he had to be sitting on it for like 2 years. But, you know, like I said, you know, like you said, if it still sounds good, it just still sounds good. That just means it's something that just time doesn't really define it. It's just going to always, you know, sound good.
True that, true that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's the end of our episode, a year in review. I guess we'll have to figure out what the next episode will be. Let's start out the new year.